Blog Talk Radio.
What happened? Were companies supposed to guarantee jobs for life? Was the government supposed to rescue everyone? Were universities supposed to grant degrees that promised unbelievable opportunities? The world has changed. There is plenty of blame to go around. But the solution is within you. All humans were made entrepreneurs. In the caves, we were all self-employed. We had to find food to feed ourselves. That's how human history began. That is the entrepreneurial experience we must rediscover. We have it within ourselves to take control of our careers, to take control of the future we want. Soon after the CEO of Me, Inc. paradigm turned the business world on its head in 1997, Rod Colon left a prominent position on Wall Street to become its most outspoken advocate. Today, as a motivational speaker, career strategist, and radio show host, Rod travels worldwide speaking with professional groups, colleges, and corporate leaders to deliver his unique call to action, Own Your Career. Tonight, get ready to learn as Rod Colon and his guests share their best practices to own your career.
Good evening. This is Rod Colon, and welcome to Own Your Career on Blog Talk Radio online at blogtalkradio.com/ownyourcareer. Our mission is to educate and empower students and professionals in how to manage their career as a business, to own their career and become the chief executive officer of a powerful enterprise, and that's you. Producing our show tonight is Wanda Sharif Rodriguez, and we look forward to taking your calls at 347-857-3320. That's 347-857-3320. Our topic this evening, it's a good one, the ABCs of leveraging followership in your career. Our guest this evening is Dr. Mary Bemker, and Dr. Bemker has been my guest on multiple occasions and always brings such great and diverse knowledge and information about how to best manage and own your career. Today it's on followership, a topic and theme that we don't hear much about. Let me tell you a little bit about Dr. Bemker. She is a recognized scholar and practitioner, a dynamic and forward-thinking nurse educator, administrator, and an individual with a deep commitment to nursing and mental health. She taught in various learning environments, and her evaluations from students and administrators have been exemplary. As an administrator, Dr. Bemker oversaw the development and operations of RN, BSN, MSN, and DNP programs, growing these programs from a startup of 7 students to over 1,000 within a 3-year period. She led the effort to get all 3 programs to CCNE accredited within a 2-year span, which was accomplished. In addition, Dr. Bemker was a part of a 3 additional successful accreditation efforts. Over the last 5 years, Dr. Bemker concentrated on academic leadership in such roles as coordinator, chair, and director, where she oversaw over 25-plus faculty. And with that, I bring my good friend and a good friend to Own Your Career, Dr. Mary Bemker. Hi, Dr. Bemker. How are you?
I'm doing great tonight, Rod. And how are you this evening?
We're doing well. As a matter of fact, it's the first day of spring, so it's great here in the Northeast. It's been sometimes very warm and then sometimes very cold, and we just had some snow about last week. So we're certainly looking forward to the spring. How about in your area? Tell the audience where you're speaking from.
Well, right now I'm speaking from Bowling Green, Kentucky. I'm down at my daughter's home, but I normally live in Louisville, Kentucky, and we have had the bipolar, multiple personality type of weather that you all have had as well. It's been great. It's been warm, and then it gets bitterly cold and rainy and icy, and then we have the wonderful weather all over again. So hopefully spring is here to stay.
Excellent. So here we are, as you know, and one of the things we're always networking. We're always sharing information. You're reading my nose, kind of. We're always going back and forth on things. And you put up this topic on followership, and I'm like, wait a second, tell me more. So what is followership, and why is it important, Dr. Bemker?
Well, I think that followership has gotten a bad rap in the past because in the United States, as in many Western countries, it was believed that in order to be a success, we had to be a leader. So then the question becomes, are we a leader by position? Are we a leader by title? Are we truly able to empower others, inspire others to move forward? And that could be done in a followership role as well as in the identified leadership role. In fact, as the world continues to change, professions and professionals are required to collaborate. The role between being a follower and being a leader tends to evolve and exchange between various individuals within a group or group setting based upon the specific need. So a follower supports the leader, supports the mission and the vision of the organization, and does whatever she or he needs to in order to facilitate that progress toward a desired goal for everyone that's involved in that process.
Right.
Now the thing is, Dr. Bemker, I grew up, here in corporate America, Wall Street, and the whole aspect of being a follower was a negative term. And it's always about leading and not about following, and it kind of had like a secondary, a tertiary view. Help us with that and how to reframe that view.
And that is an absolutely great question or great point, Rod, and I appreciate you bringing it forward. When we look, I say, especially with individuals who are starting a new chapter in their career or maybe just starting out from college, it is often believed that in order to be a success, we need to have a title, we need to lead. However, we tend to truly learn the dynamic of the professional world, of the world of work, of how to interact with others, how to find our own talents, how to learn how to develop and to work with others by being a follower. My father always said that the thing he admired the most about Franklin Delano Roosevelt was he brought the brightest and the most intelligent people that was available to speak, and he listened to every single person and quizzed them. And all of those individuals were followers in that specific role, even though they may have been heads of large institutions, captains of industry, financiers. But they brought their expertise to the overall mission of the United States. And then based upon that, FDR was able to make an educated choice, take all the dynamics that were presented, incorporate them effectively, and that group then worked together toward achieving whatever it was that they wished to make happen. So if any of those cogs were removed from that wheel, the overall process would have been weakened, and each of those individuals who may have been seen as leaders and who were leaders regardless of what they were called would not have been successful, and the mission and the role of the organization would not have been successful without those individuals presenting their expertise, pulling together, and working as a unit.
Right. One of the things that recently I've been just reviewing again is this whole aspect of EQ and EI, emotional intelligence and emotional quotient.
Mm-hmm.
And so much of what's being discussed there and your ability, where they're saying that your personality, there's not much you really can do about that once you get past 8 or 9 years old. And matter of fact, your intelligence itself, the IQ itself is, once you get 5 or 6 years old, there's not much more you can do with that, based on the learning capacity. But this whole aspect of the emotional side, you can't control. You can work with that. So I see a lot of parallels in this emotional side with the followership and buying in, and not in a negative way of buying in, but to truly embrace it is a better word.
And I think that that also is something that we all need to think about and consider. When you look at personality profiles, you have people that are introverted. You have people that are naturally extroverted. You have people that are task-focused, people that tend to be more people-focused, and some that are able to move in all different realms of those quadrants, even though one is stronger than the other. And then as we look at that process, people have made assumptions in the past that a leader has to be extroverted, they have to be task-focused. But all of the research in the last 20 or 30 years has shown that a leader and a leader within a followership role can evolve regardless of what position that they happen to be in. I personally believe that when we look at our greatest strengths, we are also looking at our biggest weaknesses. So for me, and what I recommend to individuals when I consult is, figure out how you can maximize the potential of that strength and figure out how you could minimize that weakness. And as we apply it to followership and as we look in that role, you oftentimes will see an individual who may be new to an organization or system. This person wants to stand out and stand out readily so that they can move up the corporate ladder and be recognized for who they are and what they have to bring to the organization. However, if that individual is too energetic, tries to jump over individuals as part of their enthusiasm, and really maybe at that point not know what they don't know because they don't realize about the emotional intelligence and the social intelligence that you brought forth here, they will be seen, from what I have heard in consulting over these past years, as either having a personality problem and being identified as someone that may be difficult to work with, someone that is seen as wanting to hog all the attention and not wanting to listen and be able to process, which then makes people above them leery because they don't want someone to try to undermine them or actually be seen as extremely insecure. And that insecurity is coming through by this overzealous influence or dynamic that they're presenting. So I think when we look at what our greatest are, we have to deal with those other dynamics as well.
Sure, no, you bring up some great points. You're listening to Own Your Career. This is Rod Colon on Blog Talk Radio online at blogtalkradio.com/Own Your Career. We're taking your calls at 347-857-3320, 347-857-3320. Tonight's topic is the ABCs of leveraging followership in your career, and our guest is Dr. Mary Bemker. Now, Dr. Bemker, and I know we kind of covered this slightly, but I just want to make sure we're just on point. How does followership promote leadership?
Well, I like to think about it in this way. If we all want to be leaders, and with the basketball series and the championships and the NCAA all going on, if we just consider we have a basketball team with 5 individuals on that team. First of all, no one's going to want to step out to throw the ball in because they're giving away their power and they're no longer going to be a leader. Whenever someone grabs that ball, they're going to go heading for their basket, and it doesn't matter if every other player on that team is open, they're not going to throw the ball to them because they want to be the star. When you have an unhealthy dynamic in that way, no one wins because everyone is trying to just promote self. However, when you have a team where people have specific roles, specific strategies, the center is going to defend. The center could be the point person that's going to call out the shots and the processes. The forward's going to move the ball forward. The point guards are going to make certain that they're in position to accept the ball if an individual passes it to them. They're able to move around the obstacles as a group because each have their strengths, each can function as a leader, even if they're identified as being a follower in that follower role. Consequently, if we have a leader and no one chooses to follow them, nothing gets done. So when we think about it from that perspective, the followers really are the ones with the power.
Now, Dr. Bunker, does being a good follower support an individual moving up the corporate ladder?
It very well can support an individual moving up the corporate ladder. You know, a follower typically is seen as a person that you can trust to get the job done. They're a person who is courageous and compassionate. So they consider others' feelings, they consider the overall process, and they want to demonstrate that the overall goal can be successful. This individual, if they are a true quality follower, is someone that doesn't just follow the rules or do exactly what they're being told. A good follower that moves up the corporate ladder is also an individual that demonstrates solid judgment. They have this strong work ethic. They're competent. They're qualified. They work as a great team member, and they bring things to the team. And this foundation has been, you know, identified and notified when we look at other theories such as managing up, where the individuals that were identified as followers actually were the leaders because of the way that they interacted with the identified leaders in the organization.
Right. So there are really aspects of, if I'm a follower, I can at the same time, but with a different audience, be a leader as well. Is that right?
Absolutely. You're absolutely right. And by stepping into a follower role, we have the ability to learn from others who are in that role. We have the ability to look at the leadership dynamics that the identified leader is demonstrating. We can see what works for him or her and what doesn't with that organization. We can hear what others are saying about that leadership, and we can also learn about the culture and the unwritten rules within an organization. And you and I both know that those can be costly if we don't understand them.
Sure. Now, what are some good qualities of those who follow? What makes a good follower?
Well, again, a good follower is a person who doesn't have a problem with their ego. They understand that they are important, and they understand that others within the organization are equally important. No one is better or worse than another person in a particular situation. Some may have strengths that benefit that situation better than another. They have courage to stand out and let others know their opinions on things without attacking an individual. So if they see a hole in a problem or a process, they understand how to work that system to get the information where it needs to be without undermining another person or belittling someone. They have discretion, and they don't go around trying to get ahead by stabbing someone else in the back. They know how to work as a team member, and others realize that they can count on them for a solid effort.
Yeah, that's excellent. Dr. Bunker, is followership different, or the entry point different, for baby boomers, Gen Xers, and millennials? And do they track it differently? Have you experience, you know, the differences between the generations when it comes to followership?
That is an absolutely great question, and you're right. As baby boomers, that generation was seen as being a blessed type of generation. Those individuals were born after World War II. They were born into an environment or into a community that was seen as positive. the Western civilization had basically won a war, and they felt that the sky was the limit. The roles at that point in time was that there were individuals that led, there were individuals that followed, and there was a big gulf between those two dynamics. When the 1960s came along and we had all of the unrest in our country and we had the protest and the people saying that they were going to take part in the Vietnam War, they weren't going to do this, they weren't going to do that, you then came into a point where the individuals that grew up in that environment began to have a shift in the way that they looked at things. And they raised their children to believe that they needed to decide what was necessarily best for them rather than taking a job to have a life, to have a job that supported a life. So you saw many more individuals that looked at other opportunities other than the typical business careers that had been known previously for individuals. Along this same time, we also saw a lot of the civil rights movement. We saw women's rights movement. So the traditional roles that had been put in place previously were now being challenged. And you had individuals that were not only challenging that role, but they were teaching their children to challenge that role. So then we have a lot of Gen Xers that began to look at the role and the place within the organization as different. Currently, we have individuals that come into the community, into the work area, that are oftentimes more comfortable with technology than with individuals. The interaction and the team play are often something that is not very typical in their environment or in their world. So to learn how to deal with the culture and the process of that culture is very different. You tend to see people now that are entering the career force from college who are the traditional 22-year-old individual to consider that the environment needs to support them as opposed to them supporting the environment. And that doesn't mean that every single person in these generations follow those rules, because that's absolutely not true. But with this new mindset of, I'm not going to do that because that may not be me, we now have organizations that are in a quandary as to how that they're going to address these dynamics and factors. And on the flip side, corporations who in the time of the baby boomers had individuals come in, they worked themselves up the ladder, they retired, they got the gold watch, now are the same corporations that are often outsourcing jobs to other people, or once an individual gets so much seniority, they may decide to eliminate that person and bring a new person in with new ideas. So we have a shift in the workforce and a shift in the way that the individuals are pursuing and seeing the workforce based upon their generational belief systems.
Yeah. You're listening to Own Your Career. This is Rod Colon on Blog Talk Radio online at blogtalkradio.com/Own Your Career. Our topic this evening is the ABCs of leveraging followership in your career. And our guest is Dr. Mary Bemker. When we come back from the break, we'll continue with Dr. Bemker in speaking about followership and how to best leverage it in your career. We'll be right back.
Are you looking for a coach to help take your career to the next level, or a motivational speaker to make your next event more successful? Then reach out to Rod Colon, career coach and motivational speaker. Rod has a unique perspective on what it takes to succeed in today's global economy, a perspective built on over 25 years of experience as a corporate HR management insider, agency recruiter, master networker, motivational speaker, and career coach. In demand for his coaching and motivational abilities, Rod demonstrates the power of networking as a giving and sharing activity, and aggressively challenges professionals to be relentless in building their networking skills while managing their careers as a business. the CEO of Me Incorporated. To find out more about Rod's services, go to rodcolon.com or call 732-367-5580. That's go to rodcolon.com, rodcolon.com, or call 732-367-5580.
It's about to go down. You don't want to miss the 2017 Millennial Leadership Summit happening on Friday, April 21st at the University Science Center in the heart of University City in Philadelphia. Join over 100 companies who will send their millennial leaders to experience this amazing career transformation event. Visit www.millennialleadershipphilly.com to register for your early bird ticket today.
Hi, this is Rod Colon, and I am a HISPA role model. The HISPA role model program consists of 6 visits by HISPA role models over the school year. During the in-school visits, a diverse group of Hispanic professionals shares their cultural backgrounds, professional careers, and educational experience that allowed them to achieve their personal and professional goals. The content and format of the presentations are tailored to the school and or education program, ranging from informal classroom discussions to formal auditorium presentations. HISPA Role Model Program provides an opportunity for students to personally identify with Latino professionals who, with their stories, will inspire and motivate them to set goals, believe in their dreams, and pursue higher education. Results from our post-HISPA Role Model Program surveys have demonstrated that HISPA student attitude toward higher education has positively changed by the completion of the school year program. The focus of the presentations will be in sharing key experiences that allowed them to achieve their professional goals. The role model program presentations will be tailored to the school or educational program requirements, ranging from informal classroom presentations to formal auditorium presentations. The main objective is for the students to see themselves in the role models and envision the possibilities of determining and achieving their own dreams. For more information, go to HISPA.org and register as a role model. You will be contacted on next steps. That's HISPA.org, HISPA.org. Thank you. On Your Career. This is Rod Colon on Blog Talk Radio online at blogtalkradio.com/ownyourcareer. We're taking your calls at 347-857-3320. That's 347-857-3320. Producing our show this evening is Wanda Sharif Rodriguez, and our topic this evening is the ABCs of leveraging followership in your career with our guest, Dr. Mary Bemker. Now, Dr. Bemker, we were talking about millennials and variations of Gen Xers and all that. And what a wonderful thing. And we got this new generation, these Gen Zers that are just about going to college. Can you, in your crystal ball, think about what this generation will be providing us?
Oh, wow. I hope a lot of encouragement and a lot of hope. What I see with the individuals that are starting in college that are the traditional college students have the ability to navigate technology extremely well, have the ability to sort through information, hit on key points, and pull out whatever she or he might need in order to advance and enhance overall. When we look at the culture that is being brought by this generation into and emerging into the adult or the work world as these individuals evolve through college, the traditional roles that have been put into play for the last several years, I think will continue to evolve further. So as we have a more diverse workforce, as we have individuals that understand that a label does not make a person a great leader or a great follower, the individual attributes of that individual will be appreciated, I believe, even more than in the present time. And I think that that's exciting for all of us because it's only a win-win type of situation, in my belief.
Yeah, no, very true. Now, a follower, you know, how does a follower lead, right? Because it's so important to create this you know, aspect of leadership through followership. Help us with that. How does a follower lead?
I think a follower leads by bringing his or her own expertise into the arena and enhances the overall experience, makes the leader even look better than he or she does when a process starts, and works toward, again, that common goal. And I think that's the piece that is so very important. For example, I wrote a book with a previous colleague, Dr. Barb Schreiner, and in that experience, we asked several individuals to submit a chapter on how they did their doctoral D&T project. And we had individuals that were from, let's say, I guess, the age of 25 up almost to retirement age that wrote in the process. And each of these individuals as leaders brought their own expertise to the topic and to the subject. Everyone worked together to meld that information into a process so that it was very important. And I guess as editor, I saw my role is to ask the right questions and to keep people on task. From that, the publisher liked the book so much, they approached us again and asked us if we would be able to do another book. And Dr. Schreiner had moved on to another career path and felt like she was not going to be able to do editing. So I looked over the individuals that wrote in the previous experiences, and one of the individuals in their role was always on time, brought great questions. What do you think about this? How could we look at that? Let's look at the overall belief system of healthcare and how could we evolve this so that the people reading this book had the very best information to move forward. And that was Dr. Right. Tina Rollier. And now she and I are editing a book together. So I think our roles shift constantly. As we evolve and we move forward, we need to bring our best and make the whole project the very best in order for us to be a true support and a real follower.
Right. Now, as we look at managing one's career, and we talk about as a business, you know, the whole aspect of followership is you have a network, you build your network, you find your clients, you work with your clients, you understand it. Sometimes you lead, sometimes you're following. Now, how do we best leverage the followership mentality when it comes to branding ourselves and interviewing, right? So just think about it that, so here I am now, I'm getting to followership. I understand it. I'm understanding my base. I'm doing my research and just, you know, all the aspects of it, which is nuanced to other things as well. But now I want to leverage that in an interview. And I'm thinking, well, is the recruiter and the manager and those in hiring positions going to take to me saying, well, you know, I'm a follower, right? Or I guess we're not going to say follower, but those types of things. Help us to construct a good way of developing a methodology or a framework or words that can help us in leveraging followership in this interview process.
And that is absolutely wonderful to consider how we can apply our greatest strengths in order to motivate and propel ourselves. And I guess last week I read an article that NPR had put out on Facebook, actually. And one thing in the story that they talked about was that there has been a shift in recruiting and in looking at individuals. And I agree with everything they said. In fact, I wish I had thought about it before they did. But what they talked about was that when we write our cover letter, we need to look at our attributes and talk about how our attributes are going to make the organization and that position that we're taking even stronger than what it is now. People already know you're applying for a job, or you're not going to be in an interview. You're not going to be writing a cover letter. So in that letter, in order to grasp an individual's attention in that interview, we need to look at the culture of that organization. We need to look at their mission and vision and figure out what is in us that aligns to that. We need to look at that organization as what we can do for that organization. And in the process, because not everyone is that giving, we also need to explain what we see and how we believe we're going to fit into that culture so that we ourselves can be enhanced and in turn enhance the organization even further. So by taking our introductory qualities and concepts and processes, we can talk about how we're going to help that organization, how we plan to grow within that organization, and where we might like to be 5 years from now, so that that organization and the individuals looking at our letter or conducting the interview can see that we have a commitment to that position as well as the overall mission and value of the organization where we believe it would be good for us to take our next steps career-wise.
Right. You know, Dr. Boettger, is it okay for me to say I'm a follower, or is it best to use another word because, you know, corporate America is not ready for the word, you know, I'm a follower, or you think they are ready? What's your aspect on that?
I think that the more traditional the organization that we're looking at, the less comfortable they may be with that terminology, even though that's exactly what the successful people in that organization are doing. So I sometimes will advise people to say things like, I work very well in teams. I know how to lead from a variety of positions as I support the overall organization. I know how to support, to protect, and to promote the values of this organization and the leaders with whom I work. And I think by saying that, I am basically sharing with others that I know how to be a good follower without putting that specific label on it.
Yeah, great point. Forbes magazine, Dr. Boettger, indicated that followership is more important than leadership within the marketplace in a 2016 article. Do you agree? And if so, what makes the statement true?
I agree wholeheartedly. And the reason, again, that I see that that statement is so important is because we may have in a group one or two leaders and 20 or 30 people that are identified in a role that may be a follower role. If those individuals choose to undermine the organization, if they choose to decide to hide and not do the work, regardless of how great an individual may believe that they are as a leader, the project and the process is going to become stagnant and eventually fail or move into mediocrity, which could be even worse. So a real follower looks at how they can be loyal to their organization, cause, and to themselves within that role. They look at what their attributes are, where they can pull together with others to make that dynamic process so special. And in today's technology, with the information implosion that we have, with the information that we have at our fingertips today, none of us can be experts at everything. We all even have to specialize in our general profession, just as you did, as you may made your choices and shifted your career in a way that promoted you in an exceptional manner. We all need to make those choices for ourselves. And by doing that, we allow others to teach us, to collaborate with us. We're not in silos any longer. And by them bringing that forward, we can then augment and enhance the organization, enhance the knowledge, enhance the process, enhance the outcome by bringing our own unique take on that. So we're learning and we're growing and developing as we evolve within this followership role.
That's a great point. It's so many things are changing. And with that, how can a follower, Dr. Bemker, create change? I mean, there's so much in flux. There's so much going on globally. Just turn on any news media, cable news network. Just so much going on. So amid this ever-changing employment market, how can a follower create change for themselves in a powerful way?
I think we create change for ourselves by, first of all, deciding what it is exactly that we want. We also need to look at our values, where we're willing to grow, what we're willing to learn, what we're willing to do, and what that bottom line is that we choose not to cross for ourselves. Then we need to go out and explore and find environments where we can nourish and grow within that dynamic. And I will say for myself in the area of academia, there are some programs that are heavy on research. There are some programs that have online opportunities. There are some programs that believe in mass numbers, and there are some programs that believe in small classes and providing that individual attention. So I need to figure out where my values are, where my strengths lie, where I can grow and flourish, and try to match my strengths with the environment, the organization, where I can be the most help and where I can also foster and promote, regardless of what my title may or may not be, so that we can all grow together in a way that's going to be positive.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. You know, once again, Dr. Bemker, just great, great information. You always bring so much to the table. How do folks, well, first, tell us a little bit, aside from the bio I shared, tell us a little bit about what's going on, what you're doing, and the best way for our audience to reach out to you.
Well, thank you, Rod. I continue to have a small private practice where I also do some consulting. I'm an associate professor at Touro University, Nevada, where I teach in the online Doctor of Nursing Practice program. As I said previously, I am editing a textbook for advanced practice nurses on population health with Dr. Tina Rollier, and we're looking at a variety of different topics that also focuses on the individual as well as those that we care for, like substance abuse, compassion fatigue, as well as the military and veterans, and we look at how those different populations are impacted in today's society, what they bring to society, and how we can best support and flourish with those individuals. Personally, I have a wonderful family, a great-grandson that I nourish my soul by spending time with him, and the little fur children that are running around here now as I speak. So thank
sure.
you much for asking about that.
And the best way to reach you?
The best way to reach me, my telephone number is 502-457-7719. Email is drbemker@psych-doc.com.
Excellent. And that's Dr. Mary Bemker, our guest this evening. Thank you so much, Dr. Bemker. Great job, as always, and looking forward to staying connected and your future appearance on Own Your Career as well. Thank you so much.
It has been a pleasure once again, and I truly do appreciate this opportunity. It's always wonderful to speak with you, Rod.
Awesome. Thank you, Dr. Bemker. To find out more information on how to own your career, visit my website on rodcolone.com. I'd love to hear from you during the week. Send me a note on LinkedIn and share your thoughts on our LinkedIn group called Own Your Career. Thank you to Wanda Sharif Rodriguez for producing our show this evening. I appreciate you, our listeners. I know how difficult it is to own your career. You can do it. Si se puede. Thanks for listening in. God bless you. Keep the faith and networking alive. And until next week, this is Rod Colon with Own Your Career. Thank you.